Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All locations, you can't get this online, folks.
Ride with the country's number one auto insurer, State Farm. I'm Kathy Thurman Edwards, the agent on Brookhaven Circle, with a big shout out to my awesome team now licensed in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Call or text 901-767-7744. We're still all better looking than a lizard.
What up? It's KD. I'm excited to finally bring you my podcast, The Etceteras, with my guy Eddie Bansky Gonzalez.
How you able to keep your emotions under control? You know, Kamaru, you're fighting somebody like Kobe Covington. You can't get out of that and fight his fight, right?
I say this is what separates the good, great, and the elite. The elites are the type of people that are able to tap into that mentality, like, oh, word? All right, I'm going to show you and go out there and show them. You know, I got into a space where it's like, man, all right, I'm going to show you. I'll let you talk. Like, a lot of these guys, I just let them take the gas. And that's the job. The media has to build them up as this giant that's willing to come in there and dethrone me. And I'm just like, all right, I'm going to do my thing. As long as I take care of what I take care of, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to show you that I am the best.
Join me and KD each and every week on The Etceteras.
Subscribe and listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Radio.com, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Action247.com is your Tennessee sportsbook for same-day pay. Action247.com, local, legal. Tennessee's home for same-day pay. Action247, you got action.
Problem gambling? Call 1-800-889-9789.
You know what rock chips are?
Oh, no.
A pain in your glass. Time to visit Eden Auto Glass and Window Tint of Memphis. Eden specializes in auto glass repair. So when you're in the garage and you chip yourself...
My windshield!
Eden Auto Glass and Window Tint will come fix it. Home or work with a lifetime installation warranty. Ask about Eden's window tint.
Sweet.
You bet your glass it is. Visit EdenAutoGlass.com today. Let us see your crack at Eden Auto Glass and Window Tint.
Memphis and the Mid-South's number one place for sports and the home of the Jeff Conkins Show. Weekday mornings, 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. WMFS FM and HD1 Margaret. WMFS Memphis. Live on the radio.com app.
We're brothers, we're happy and we're singing and we're...
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who that? Man, this what you been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, cause now I'm getting hot enough to with one and stay in home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking up positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke, whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that, I got that flame. Who that, I got that flame. Who that, I got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to your Wednesday, January 13th. It is hump day. And I tell you what, it'll be at least a few more days. We'll certainly be getting to this news before the University of Memphis basketball team plays another game. News of another postponement this morning. They will not play SMU on Thursday. What it's been since December 29th, since the Tigers could play a basketball game. And yes, it'll be a few more. I guess next up will be Sunday at Tulsa, if I'm not mistaken. That's the next one on the schedule, the next opportunity. You certainly hope, John, that they do not lose that one, because it's on the road, that would be a quad one opportunity. You already lost one of those in losing the road game at UCF. We talked about Memphis. You want as many opportunities as you can to prove to the selection committee that you've got things turned around, that you're a team that deserves a bid, or at least we're talking at-large bid in this instance. You're running out of opportunities. Hopefully SMU can get rescheduled. We'll see. But right now, Memphis is a team that just wants to play and can't seem to get out on the court because of COVID.
Yeah. Memphis has not played since last year. Memphis has not played a basketball game
since last year. Not an exaggeration. December 29th?
Yeah, 28th or 29th, exactly. And man, it feels like it's been an eternity since we've seen them. And the sophomores have turned to juniors now, and juniors to seniors. They're going to be a whole new-ass team by the time. DeAndre Williams will be 32 years old by the time they play again.
They've certainly had time to reinstall a brand-new, whole new Lion, double Lion offense if they wanted.
Yeah.
They've just had that time.
A whole zoo,
certainly
if you will.
Not by their choice. We certainly understand that. But that's what I'm saying. Tulsa, and we'll get to this.
They got the lion. They got the warthog.
You know,
they got all kinds of animals. All the farmhouse.
You start losing games like Sunday, too, and that's Tulsa, and hopefully that one's still going to be intact. That's a quad one opportunity. We've talked about that. Memphis right now, 0-1 in those opportunities. That's the kind of wins you need to impress the selection committee. Hopefully Memphis can get on the court pretty soon.
Yeah, we'll get into what this means for Memphis here momentarily. We do have a big show planned for you today. Mark Giannotto is going to join us at 11:25. We'll get his reaction to yet another game for Memphis being postponed. Lots to get to with him. We'll do that at 11:25. At 12:25, very, very excited about this. Now, as you guys know, when you're dealing with events and moving parts, things can happen. But we are tentatively scheduled to have Alabama linebacker, Whitehaven graduate, three-time national champion. And this might be my favorite part about our guest at 12:25, the first black Alabama football player to graduate with a degree in mechanical engineering. Josh McMillan.
That blows me away, fact.
It's quite something.
What an accomplishment.
Yeah, incredibly impressive young man, three-time national champion there at Alabama, and he is going to join us at 12:25. Went to Whitehaven, was a very highly decorated recruit coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. Talked to him a little bit yesterday, texted back and forth. He's still in Miami, so you know how that goes. He's probably celebrating as much as he can. So
I might not leave.
We will try to catch him and just talk about his journey, because it is quite the journey. He was supposed to be a starter in the 2019 season. He was coming back as a senior in 2019, and he was supposed to be a starter. He suffered a season-ending, I believe, knee injury that knocked him out. Yeah, an ACL injury that knocked him out for the entire season. But he stayed as a reserve. He was not a starter this year. He was a reserve as a graduate, as a graduate of Alabama, fifth-year graduate, and
three rings.
And he stayed, and he's got three rings to show for it now. So we'll get into all of that with Josh at 12:25. Looking forward to that. And then at 1:25, we're going to be joined by Myron Metcalf. We'll talk college basketball with him, Memphis basketball, sort of where they go from here. And you know, I talked a little bit with Jeff, and sometimes you stumble into good points when you're, you know, when you're just doing these things. And I think in terms of where we are in the Penny Hardaway era, we're at the juncture of where is this headed? What's it going to be? Not ringing any alarms, right? Not certainly calling for anybody's job to – he just got an extension, for crying out loud. But I do think we're at a point now where we're reasonably and I think fairly asking each other, where is this going? Is it going to be what Penny promised it would be, which is tournament relevance, deep runs, things like that? Or will it be something less than that, which I think for a lot of people would be disappointing. Would be disappointing to not be able to reach the heights that we know this program certainly can reach. So we'll get into all that with Myron Metcalf at 1:25. That is the show today. Go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say, it feels like a point we all sort of feel the same thing. Giannotto, who we'll talk to at 11:25, has got a column up today over commercialfield.com. Essentially says the same thing. If not now, then when for Penny Hardaway? If you're not going to win now, then when is winning time?
We've all said it. The goalposts aren't changing here, that this should be a tournament season. The fact is, we talked a little bit about losing opportunities. That gets tough around this time, particularly when you are 1-4 in your quadrant one and quadrant two opportunities. And as we said, this was going to be a quad two against this SMU team coming up on Thursday. Hopefully you can reschedule some kind of way they can fit that in. But on Sunday, obviously against Tulsa, you'll have an opportunity again, one you lost, a team you lost to earlier this season, to get that quad one win, obviously with that game being on the road. You know, Penny Hardaway's at a point right now, we all agree, where you've got to win these games.
Yep.
We're not changing anything here. This team was projected to be number two in the American Athletic Conference. It's time to start showing it. It's hard to do that when you can't get on the floor.
That's exactly
so nothing has changed there except Memphis's desire to get out there. I mean, that's probably driving them crazy at this point because you're having to follow protocol, do everything right. You can't get on the floor. It's out of your control at this point. But once you do, John, because this opportunity is thinning, you've got to take advantage of them. What you do, so we're all at the same point feeling, okay, it's winning time.
Yep.
Whether it's, you know, whether your column in the Memphian Commercial Appeal, us on the radio, we're all saying the same thing.
Well, and that leads us into our discussion, I think, of the day, which is yet another postponement for Memphis basketball. This came to us first from Christian Fowler of Go Tigers 247. Memphis has had their game against SMU tomorrow postponed. We are not getting ready for a game. And listen, I don't think it would have been a quad one win, but it would have been a...
Their 66 would have been a quad two opportunity.
But it would have been the kind of win, though, that if you get it, it can really sort of set you back on track because SMU is a quality team. I mean, they're on the bubble. I don't know what the latest bracketology is. Maybe they're in it, maybe they're not. But they're certainly, at this point in the season, I think they're, 7-1, 8-1, something along those lines. I mean, they're a quality basketball team. And it's the kind of win that I think would really inspire some confidence, especially if you can settle on a lineup, on some rotations, things like that. But you don't get that chance now, and you're going straight into – and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't feel like this team is set up for success right now. Given, and again, this is no fault of their own. This is not a situation where you can say this is Penny's fault. It's not. It's totally out of this team's control. This is all on it was UCF, and it was Temple, and it's now SMU. We told you guys over the summer, most of the team had contracted COVID-19 already. So not to get into the science of it, but they've got some natural protection as a team from COVID-19. It's backwards that that's a good thing, but it is in this case. So all these disruptions are not on Memphis not following protocols, right? It's on these other teams, but that's going to happen. It's happening throughout college basketball. And I say that they're not set up for success because you haven't played since 2020, and your first game is going to be, presuming it's not canceled or postponed, is going to be on the road against a Tulsa team who you just don't match up well with, a coach Jason has called the greatest ever.
Don't go that far.
And so I just don't think you are that is a team and a system that you're already not – you weren't playing well before the break, right? You weren't playing particularly well before the break. You eked one out against Florida without their best player, their best big. And your first game back is going to be against the matchup zone that you struggle mightily with. I mean, this is not a good recipe for Memphis basketball right now.
The problem right now is that for Memphis is in a year that – you know, we all expected them to be able to earn an at-large bid, at least be second in the AAC, is that just look at the numbers. Numbers don't – we can sit here and focus on the defensive side if we want to, and maybe that's what some of us, glass-half-full folks will do. You got one side of it licked. We could talk about offense and how bad that's been, but the fact is you are what you are, and right now you're number 105 at the net.
Yep.
Listen, SMU is sitting at 66.
Yep.
Tulsa's sitting at 55. So we can do all this talking and all that, but the fact is you're behind those teams right now, and it's go time. And unfortunately, you've already lost one to Tulsa. You can't afford, John, to blow a quad one opportunity when you come back on Sunday. And, yes, in less than ideal circumstances, having had this long layoff against a team that, quite frankly, should you be that unprepared when you see that zone at this point against Frank Haith? Probably not with this level of talent. But that said, you've backed yourself into a corner now where, again, the numbers do not favor you in terms of making it. So what is that? Let's just talk about that all because we haven't talked much about that. Mm. Well, what does it mean? Doesn't mean Penny Hardaway's going anywhere. He just signed a 5-year. Let's knock that out of the way right now.
Yep.
But would it start to be part of the narrative of the story surrounding the Memphis program, surrounding Penny Hardaway? Would that start? Oh, yeah, he can get the talent. but they don't go. He doesn't do anything with it.
Yep.
They don't. That would start right now, and you don't want that started.
Yep.
You absolutely don't. And here's the other part. You've got the NBA portion and the development part, at least for right now, licked with what? Did you see Precious Achiuwa last night? And the NBA started, had 17 and 13.
My goodness.
Right? I mean, and he improved his stock. You've got that part licked. You've got enough talent to have this part licked. And what you're running out of is opportunities, right, to kick the door down, to show people that, look, it's not just names on paper. It's not just I can coach defense. It's we're gonna show people that we are the team that not people, not that the fans expected us to be, that he did.
100%.
That the head coach did when he recruited all of these players and when they got voted again number two in the AAC. So you're running out of opportunities and the time to do it clearly. I mean, Giannotto says it too. We'll talk to him again in the it's right now.
Yep.
You can't afford anything else.
Well, and
especially as more games get postponed.
Because the devil's advocate argument, which is what Jeff brought up to me today, was that, well, you know, I mean, we're never going to really know because this season has been chock full of disruptions and I understand.
Unfortunately, that's not going to play.
Everybody is dealing with it, though. It's not something that's unique to Penny Hardaway.
Correct.
And this is, again, this was supposed to be a group that came into this year knowing who it was supposed to be, knowing how it was supposed to play.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do the Men in Black thing and won't let you remember, even though 3-4 games have been postponed. We saw those first 10 games, and we saw how it was demonstrably not improving. It was not getting better. In fact, in some ways, you could argue it's gotten worse since the first game of the season, right? In some ways, you can argue that now that the offense has changed hands, whatever. I don't know who you want to ascribe it to. That's I'll let you decide.
I just want to see it fixed.
Exactly.
Point,
and see it
operate more efficiently.
We can even see it operate right now, and that's the unfortunate thing for Memphis. They lost the UCF game on the road, which hurts because that would have constituted a quad one win because they were hanging on a top 7-5.
Correct.
You don't get that chance now.
You made that point with Jeff. That bringing those games here, yes, that's fine. You get both of them against UCF, but it's no longer the quad one opportunity.
Correct.
You're 0-1 in those opportunities at this point. You need as many as you can. So,
yes.
Again, makes Sunday so much more important, clearly. I think, you know, for Penny Hardaway, clearly, you know, you don't get a COVID year.
Nope.
I'm sorry. Like, just to echo John's point, especially in a year where you get the new contract, right? And Penny had to get it. He deserved it. But once you've signed that sort of 5-year deal the honeymoon's over as far as that's concerned. So it's win time right now. You're running out of opportunities, as we've said. So by the time you get out there, hopefully, as we've said on Sunday, I think Tulsa's got one scheduled today, John, if I'm not mistaken, against Wichita State. So hopefully that still goes. Hopefully Tulsa stays on track with everything they've got going. You've got to be able to take advantage of these opportunities. The few that you have left, look, every team in the country is going to have holes in their schedule. But what most of them, the ones that are going to make the tournament, they're going to have these quad one wins that they can hang their hat on and say, this is why we deserve to be there. Memphis doesn't have those right now.
Yep.
You know, your best win sitting right now is St. Mary's. So it's imperative that you get them. Penny is certainly at a crossroads. Here's the other thing, too, John. We talked about the alternative. What happens if you don't? Are you going to lose the recruiting class? Probably not. But could you lose some of the guys that you've got right now? See, that's the other key about this, about pulling it back together, is it's easier than ever to transfer. We are seeing that.
Yes, it is.
And Penny had, you know, part of it's not just about this year and making the tournament. It's about developing guys, keeping them in your program, right? And then when they're juniors and seniors, John, because Penny's talked about the need for this, having some of those glue guys, you want them there in those years to sort of be that, to be the leaders. And so what you can't afford, too, is to have this thing spiral out of control. You start losing part of the base, part of the foundation that you're building things on. And so, again, when you don't meet expectations, that can tend to happen. You don't want to see that happening for Penny Hardaway in year three. It can all be solved with a tournament trip, but you don't get that without starting to improve on this number. You're 105 at the net. It's time to start going up.
I mean, and we'd be naive to sit here.
Nobody's going to feel sorry for you, unfortunately.
These conversations are already happening. I mean, they're not waiting. They're not waiting to see. Opposing coaches are not waiting to see, is Memphis going to be able to turn this thing around and make an NCAA tournament this year? They're already saying, look at Memphis's roster and look at the production. It doesn't match up. And I mean, again, you don't get a COVID year. We go through the history. Every successful coach at Memphis, it is just true, has made a tournament by their third year. It's just true.
I'd love to be able to say it doesn't matter for Penny Hardaway. No, I know it's a free, but it doesn't, because partly because of that.
I mean, that's the history.
That is absolutely, it's the history of Memphis, and you can't continue to look. Part of the reason you fired Tubby Smith,
yes,
wasn't just the financial what you would get there and gain there, is that it was going to be a quick turnaround. We've talked about that. It was, Memphis couldn't afford, with what it's invested in this program, again, $21 million practice facility over there, to have a 5 to 6 year rebuild, paying a coach $3 million. It had to go a completely different direction. We can't change the goalpost for Penny Hardaway and all of a sudden say, well, give him five, because you've got too much invested, and the plan was to have it turn around. The talent is there. Let's just forget all the talk. Boil it down. Get better point guard play. Again, it'll look a lot more cohesive if you can get some consistent point guard play. And who should have, let's just be real, if anybody should understand that, it's one of the best point guards to ever play the game in Penny Hardaway. And not to mention, you're working with, and I'll just say, because I think he's the best option at this point. We saw it at the end of the South Florida game. You're working with a guy who you know well is going back to the sixth grade.
Yep.
Get this part of it licked.
Yep.
We can talk new offense and what they can handle and what they can't handle. Are you putting too much on them? Is it not enough? We can talk that all day long. But get some more, after this layoff, get some more consistent point guard play, and maybe you can sort of get back to where we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, because
Because the fact is, the talent's there. You're good defensively. This, you've underachieved to this point, mostly because of your play at that position.
Well, I mean, and it's not like they don't have the capability on paper on the roster.
That's why you cannot put that. I'm not stacking this squarely on the shoulders of Alex Lomax, because it's Penny Hardaway who decided to start this season with Ball there and then with Lomax coming off the bench. Well, then, no, that's not working.
Basically,
let me go to Lester Quinones.
Right, Boogie off, right?
Right, and Boogie, well, I think we've seen, too, Boogie just doesn't have the vision to play the position. But so I'm just not sure that's an option there either. But it's on Penny Hardaway's watch where that position, right, that this has gotten out of control to a point, it's costing you wins. It's got you 140-something in offensive efficiency, mostly because that's not on Alex Lomax by himself. It's on all of those guys, and it's on the head coach who's got to find the right one. Doesn't have to go out there all of a sudden. He's an NBA point guard.
Yep.
You've just got to get better play there from one of those guys. That's on all of those guys, and it's at the feet of Penny Hardaway. Get that corrected, starting with Tulsa on Sunday, hopefully,
yep,
now that you don't have SMU here, and hopefully this thing can get back to what we all expected.
Well, I mean,
and you don't have to consider the alternative.
What was true against UCF, right? We came on this radio show and we said, this is Memphis is at a crossroads this season, right? Because they had this quad one opportunity. The exact same thing applies on Sunday. That this is your crossroads game of the season, right?
Only a little bit tougher because they give you hell.
Much tougher.
Tulsa's that team.
Your chances a lot better against UCF.
Gives you hell right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, you just don't match up well with
Tulsa. The stuff they run.
You win on Sunday, I can buy your season being turned around. I can buy it. It's a quad one win. It's a team that typically gives you fits, and it's on the road. I can buy that's a kind of a win that will turn your season around. You lose, though, and it becomes nearly impossible to see a path. You know, all election night, right, it was all about the path. Well, what's the path for Donald Trump? What's the path for Joe Biden? And then there's always paths. Well, if he wins Arizona and if he wins Pennsylvania, you know, there were paths. It becomes increasingly difficult for Memphis basketball to have a path to the tournament, certainly as an at-large. Those dreams are on life support. Now, you beat Tulsa on Saturday, on Sunday. You beat Houston once. You steal one. They don't have Caleb Mills. Then we add to that, we're having a different conversation. But that's really what you have to do at this point, given the way the non-conference played out, to get there as an at-large and not have to pin your hopes on a conference tournament.
My man Toby DM'd me, and I'm glad he did. Not to single him out, but this is something I want to bring this up. He brings up that. And I guess assume maybe he's saying we're part of the problem in terms of us as fans, us as media, that we think too highly of the current players and their talent level. Can I just say this is not a talent issue?
I mean,
we can go and I'll read the rest of it. Love Toby's a listener, love him to death, but I'm hearing a lot of this, and this is why I want to bring it to the table. Let's be honest about the talent on the team. There is an NBA talent on this team. You don't have to have NBA talent to make the tournament, to not be 148th or whatever it is in offensive efficiency. We saw that when they had NBA talent, right, with James Wiseman for three games, but Precious Achiuwa for a full season, and we're seeing it now, and we can go back and forth on what DJ could be or what Landers Nolly could be or whatever that is.
Yep.
But what I will tell you right now is this is not a talent issue.
Nope.
Okay, and sure, maybe we can go down each man. Well, is Alex Lomax as good as a junior as we thought he would be? Is that a talent? We can do that with each one of them. But these are guys that Penny Hardaway has selected.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, I don't think all these guys are sorry that they can't get it done, that all of a sudden we had all of them overrated. I just say to that argument, this is not a talent issue. This is an organizational issue
yep.
on the offensive side of the ball. Yep. Quite frankly, hell, this team's talented defensively,
yep.
and it's showing you that just about every night. They're what, top five in block percentage, steals. The hell, they lead the AAC. I mean, they're getting that. So now we're saying all of a sudden that talent doesn't stay. No, it's an organizational issue that, again, I would tell you, you can't put that completely on the players because the coach picked them. And so it goes back to that coach to make the adjustments. Even if they're not as good to put the bow on this,
right.
even if they're not as good as we thought.
Yep.
Right, I'll give you that. Say that for that part of the argument. Some of them not as good as we thought. There's still plenty enough talent out there to be a tournament team
well,
with this squad. This is not a talent issue
well,
for Memphis.
The way, here's what
That's
I would,
why it's concerning.
Here's
quite
what
frankly.
I would ask you.
This you got to get the most out of what you got.
How much NBA talent's on Baylor right now? They're 11-0. They're number two in the country.
But they're not Gonzaga, which is like four of the top 25.
Gonzaga's loaded.
Yeah,
that's why I went to Baylor.
No, you made a good point. Yeah, I'm glad you went down there and didn't pick the first.
Yeah.
And my point is they're not Zaga. That's got four of the top 25 in the country.
Baylor has no protected first-rounders right now. Villanova has one.
Okay.
That's Jeremiah Robinson Earl.
Right.
Iowa has none. Iowa has their number five in the country. Michigan has a projected second-round pick in Livers. They're number seven in the country, and they're moving up. They just beat the crap out of Wisconsin the other night. So you don't have to have – yeah, it's great to have NBA talent. That's what Penny wants. But you don't have to have two or three lottery picks every year to be a top 15, top 20 program.
Brother, SMU, Tulsa got less talent than you. They're ranked higher. That's what I'm talking about. This isn't a talent issue. You don't have to have NBA talent to finish second in the AAC. You shouldn't have to have that. So I refuse to go to that point that all of a sudden we're going to put this at the feet of the players and say they're not good enough.
Right.
Or we can't. That would go back to, again, what I would say of changing the goalposts. Can't do that.
Creighton has no NBA players. They're top 10 in the country. So, you know, this idea that none of these guys are – and we love Toby. Toby's a loyal listener. Right? And so I appreciate the argument. But
I'm just using him as though because you heard that a lot. That these guys just, they aren't getting it done. They're not good enough
to that
point. Like James Harden saying about the Rockets.
You know what I'm saying?
No, they are good enough to still, that should have been at least second place in the AAC.
There ain't it. I mean, maybe.
Not this good, not bad enough to be this bad offensively for a second straight year. Give me a break.
I truly believe this. The only coach in the country who wouldn't trade his roster for Memphis's is Mark Few. I think probably everybody else would trade their roster for Memphis's talent. I mean, you have McDonald's All-American caliber guys. You've got a leading scorer in the ACC. You've got DeAndre Williams, who's an experienced grad transfer. You've got DJ. You've got Lester, Boogie, top 30 hit. I mean, up and down the roster, man. I mean, so if there's any question about the roster, right, it's about the construction of it.
Correct.
And the way that it's used. I mean, with Tubby, it was a talent issue. Tubby wasn't bringing in enough talent.
Yeah.
That is not what we are dealing with in the current state of Memphis basketball right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is not that Penny's not bringing in enough talent. I mean, that's just not reality. It's your job and your charge as a coach to figure out to, A, bring in talent, but then once it arrives and enrolls, how to use it, period. How is it best utilized? That's the charge and the responsibility of a coach to figure out. But it's not a talent question.
Well, they've had the time to do it. Running out of games to do it, like we said, or opportunities to do it in quadrant one opportunities at least. Like we said, SMU right now that gets postponed. Hopefully you don't lose a quad one opportunity on Sunday against Tulsa. It's time for Penny Hardaway, certainly.
Well, we will talk to Mark Giannotto about all of this and more. He wrote a column about Penny Hardaway over at commercialappeal.com. We'll get his thoughts on the state of Memphis basketball. Another game postponed, which just I think everybody's just restless, Jason. I think everybody's all antsy. They just want to see some basketball, and they can't right now. So we will get into all of that with Mark Giannotto on the other side. Jason and John, 92.9 FM.
Win one of two brand new BMWs at the Fitz, plus tons of promo cash. Fridays and Saturdays in January. Promo cash and two brand new BMWs. Only at the Fitz. Luck lives here.
Must be 21 to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
The calendar has flipped to 2021. The NFL playoffs are here. Tigers are in league play. Grizzly season is underway. Lots of games to watch and enjoy. If you're like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to enjoy these things while enjoying a drink. And if you want to enjoy what I'm enjoying, try New Amsterdam Vodka. New Amsterdam Vodka, it is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's five times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered three times to create a soft finish, as I'm sure you know by now. So smooth you could drink it straight. And it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. And if you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. Lemon, coconut, watermelon is the newest flavor. Keep an eye out for that. Don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you are on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you are in a bar or in a restaurant or in a liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web. New Amsterdam Spirits. .com.
Shop at home, curbside pickup, we'll bring it to you. This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Mark's Bensdorf, and yes, everyone including me is dealing with the new normal. Home selling and home buying is still going on as I watch the number of listings and contracts showing up in the multiple listing service each and every day. While people are staying home more, the irony of connectivity is keeping things closer than ever before. Recently, two different out-of-town buyers made offers on homes because they saw them online. They never actually visited the properties. They didn't kick the bricks, as we say. So stay safe, stay at home, and remember the preamble to the Code of Ethics of the National Association of Realtors. Under all is the land. If you want to discuss your individual situation and how we operate in the current environment, call or email me at 483-0546 or memphisrelocate.com. That's Shell Dunn Rosengarten, 483-0546 or memphisrelocate.com.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider and are only available if the provider determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/real. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/real. That's forhims.com/real for your free online visit. forhims.com/real.
If you're very quiet, you can hear it. The joy, the freedom, the crunch from 100% whole grain oats. Stay outside longer with Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Granola Bars. We are better outside.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
I love my Charmin Super Mega Frozen Charmin. Goes there some, it's TP goals, yeah. Charmin's got six rolls in one, lasts forever on my buns. Only Super Mega when I'm cleaning. Charmin's got my booty believing.
Charmin's Super Mega Roll is six regular rolls in one. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
If I'm not commuting anymore, where do I really want to live?
While you handle life's questions, Merrill Guided Investing helps you manage your portfolio and invest for your next move. With the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/investing goals to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
You decided to upgrade your outdoor deck. So you order the essentials, a power washer, a set of patio chairs, and a shiny new grill. And you use your Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping and up to 5.25% as a Preferred Rewards member, which you put towards your most essential deck addition, a bird feeder. Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/morerewarding. Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin, with all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
I ain't trying to tell you what to do, but try to play cool. Baby, I ain't playing by your rules.
Mark Donato is the sports columnist over at the Commercial Appeal. Host of Donato and Jeffrey. Joins us every single Wednesday. He joins us now. Mark, what's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Just kind of, I don't know. The first two Memphis basketball postponements didn't really bother me that much. It's just part of it. And even, this weekend or tomorrow's postponement is part of it. But I don't know. I was just looking forward to seeing them play SMU. It was going to be like the start of a pretty interesting three-game stretch for Memphis coming off this break with SMU, then Tulsa this weekend, and Wichita State. So hopefully Sunday's game happens. I think Tulsa plays tonight, too. Hopefully they don't run into any issues.
Yeah.
I just want to see the team play again. I don't know. I know that the first 10 games didn't go great, but yeah. I don't know. Well, I just want to see them play again. I want to see – like, I am interested to see how this all ends up playing out. Like, I think I was listening to your guys' opening segment. It sounds like, at least John has – I think John kind of knows how he thinks this is going to play out. But, there are still technically 17 games.
Course.
So I was interested to see just – how, what happens in each of these games and whether they, whether they can figure it out. Like, I just remember when I covered Virginia, and I'm not saying this is something that commonly happens in college basketball, but the first year Virginia was really good under Tony Bennett. Like, the first time they got a one seed in the NCAA tournament and won the ACC. I remember, like, they had a rocky non-conference that year, and it culminated with, it was like New Year's Eve or December 30th. They lost to Tennessee by like 30 points. Like, they just got blown out. And it was a team with Joe Harris, Malcolm Brogdon, a couple other guys who are now pros overseas, like a nice roster of guys. And something happened after that loss where they finally, figured it out. And they went on this run through ACC play where, they lost close to Duke at Duke, I remember. And then from that point on, they just rolled. And they just figured it out as a team. And Tony Bennett had not really had a ton of success at UVA to that point. He had, like, made the tournament one year and lost in the first round. And then the rest is history. Like, now they've won a national championship since then. The program's skyrocketed since then. And I'm not saying that's going to happen with Memphis, but, it could, like, I'm not going to be the person who tells you this won't happen.
Yeah.
And they won't figure it out. And especially because we've never seen a team really have this type of layoff during a season, like Memphis is in the middle of right now. Like, it could even, I could see it where it's a bad thing, where they come back against Tulsa on Sunday and look rust. Already Tulsa is clearly a bad matchup for them based on the last two times they've played them. And then you add on the fact that they're, rust from not playing a game in so long. It could be a bad thing, and it could be a bad thing after that. You just lose all rhythm being off for what's going to be 20 days now. Or, because of how the season went, maybe this was, maybe they do look like a different team because, 3 weeks of 3 weeks is a long time, especially when you're just practicing. Maybe that's, maybe this could be what they needed. I don't know, And so I was interested to see what this team looked like coming out of such a weird break. And I guess we'll just have to wait a few more days longer now.
Do you think, Mark, when they come back out, whenever we do see them, hopefully it's Sunday against Tulsa, that after what we saw at the end of the South Florida game particularly, that'll just put Alex Lomax out there, that there isn't time anymore to try to have Ball as the guy or Lester as the guy, and you just go back to what you know? Do you think he'll just go back to Alex Lomax as the starter and say, hey, lead us?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. You know, to me, it'll be interesting to see, because in that South Florida game, it was so long ago now, like, he played everyone in the first half. He did what he'd been doing in the first half, and it was only in the second half after halftime, and in the last 10 minutes when they made that comeback, when he stuck with, you know, basically a core group of guys for the most part, which included Lomax, you know, leading the charge in a lot of ways. And I would note that, you know, when I've studied Penny's rotations in the past, like, he's act like, my whole thing with Penny and his rotations in the game, when he hits on something, he actually has a history. If you go, like, I've studied this stuff, you know, pretty closely over the last couple of years. In a game, when he hits on a lineup, he'll go back to it and he'll stick with it. The problem he has is he'll have a lineup that works really well in a game, and then the next game he won't even use it. Like, it's not even that he doesn't even try it and it doesn't work. He, like, won't even use it, really. And that's the part that's always been confusing to me, why when a lineup clicks in one game, it doesn't carry over to – he doesn't carry it over to the next game. It almost feels like he starts with, like, a clean slate every game.
And it's by feel.
And says, all right, I'm going to play everyone.
Right.
And then I'm going to go with whoever's hot. And why not just, you know, that's fine when you're, you know, the first couple games of a year when you're playing, you know, Mississippi Valley State. Right. But then the whole point of that doing that is then when you get to games that matter, you know, you figured out what your rotation is and you stick to it. And I'm not saying – he's wrong. I'm just saying that's the thing. To me, I find it different than what other coaches typically do.
So you doubt he'd go there, even though it worked. To your point, feels like a long time ago. But even your point is,
I'm not
even though it worked,
I'm just saying his track record suggests they won the game.
Right.
Just stick with the starting lineup he went with in that game, and then he's gonna, if Lomax is clicking again against Tulsa, he'll ride Lomax and whatever, you know, or he'll ride Landers Nolly, if Landers Nolly's thinking. Like, that's how he coaches.
You're absolutely right about that.
In the game, by the gut type of coach.
What I'm saying is he's running out of time, right, to sort of be to get to a point where your offense stalls out for 7 or 8 minutes because of, like, what we started with, these opportunities. You're losing them. And even in – I mean, you pointed this out, John's pointed out, in losing UCF down there, well, it's a quad one down there. You get them back, it's not necessarily the same. And you're running out of those options. I just don't know that – he's got time to go back and sort of be that old, that he still has time not to change at that point, I guess, is the point I'm making.
Here's what I would point out to Memphis fans. One, you're right, they lose the UCF game, but if they reschedule this SMU game like they rescheduled the UCF game, they might be getting a second SMU road game out of this. And, like, theory, that sounds bad, but I think for this team, that's actually a good thing, to get another game at SMU to boost your resume. If indeed that's how they end up doing it. The AAC has not said yet how they're going to reschedule.
And you got to get this one at Tulsa, right? I mean, you just got to. If you're going to get some quad ones, I think you're 0-1.
Well, if you
one
it's at not just
Tulsa
that.
Go ahead.
You don't want to get – to me, if I'm a Memphis fan, if I'm that Memphis team, what I'm thinking about is we need to finish in the top two of the AAC regular season standings. Because I think that might be a way you can sneak into the NCAA tournament, and that the committee might just go in this weird year, all right, the AAC is the seventh best league. Mm-hmm. Let's get two teams in, you know. And if you can be that second place team, and as rocky as this season has been so far, you look at the AAC standings. Memphis is tied atop of it in terms of they only have one loss, and if you look at the schedule upcoming, and, you know, with the SMU game, your next three games were going to be against other teams with only one conference loss. And now still your next two are against teams in the league who presumably you're going to be competing with for those top two spots. It's Tulsa on Sunday, and then next Thursday, Wichita State's supposed to come here. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's – you're right. And that's why, like, I wrote a column up at commercialappeal.com, like, it felt like going into Thursday and now going into Sunday, like, if they are going to figure it out and turn this season around, it's going to happen right now or it's not going to happen. Because if you drop the, you know, for instance, getting swept by Tulsa is going to be something that gets used against you if you somehow do figure it out later on and get in the mix. Because Tulsa is going to be a team that you're competing with for one of those top two spots in
Absolutely.
The AAC.
Absolutely.
And it'll just be a bad look. So I think you're right, Jason, in terms of the desperation level. Like, you lose these next two, I don't know if there's a reasonable path to get to the end, you know, to even think about the NCAA tournament. You know, like, obviously they haven't played like an NCAA tournament team yet, but with 17 games plus potentially a conference tournament potentially left, they do have time. But, like, there's just very little margin for error. And so, and they're going to be playing some good teams. They still have both their games against Houston left, both their games against Wichita State left, both their games, hopefully, against SMU, UCF. Like, all the biggest conference games they have are still ahead of them. And, you know, I think even as bad as this team's played at times and how up and down they've been under Penny, you know, ultimately, and John mentioned this in the last segment, like, they have the talent where you can go into any one of these games and go, well, if they play well, they could win. You know, like, it's not like they're going to go into any of these games thinking, man, it's not going to be like Ohio State, Alabama, where, like, Ohio State was like, we're going to have to play perfect to beat Alabama. Memphis doesn't have to play perfect to beat any of these teams in the AAC. They just have to play well, and unfortunately, they haven't really played well very often this year.
What you have and what you possess that I don't is this belief that it will improve, right? Like there will be a settling of a lineup, and that there will be a just a basic general settling in, right? It seems as though you have, you know, that belief fundamentally that it will happen.
I wouldn't call it belief. I'd call it, like, wishful thinking. You know, like, okay. I'm hoping, because I want them to be interesting. Like, I don't want them to be.
Well, I think they're interesting.
Look up,
I think they're interesting.
Yeah, but I don't want to look up and have them be 15-12, which is a very realistic possibility.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, honestly, like, I think, and I'm maybe putting words in your mouth, John, but my sense from you is you don't think this is going to be horrible, but it's not going to be good. Like, they're going to keep treading water like they have.
That's exactly what I think, and I felt like that, frankly, since the VCU loss. And I know VCU is, you know, they have a decent record, but that was a team that Memphis absolutely should have beaten. And also, like, I feel like we saw what Memphis can be. You know, even if you want to take out Boogie's explosion in that St. Mary's game, you know, that first 10 minutes against Western Kentucky was probably the best basketball Memphis has played under Penny Hardaway. That first 10 minutes of the first half. The ability is there, but you'll never capture it. You'll never reach it if it's just – I mean, and maybe it's a part of, you know, DeAndre Williams wasn't eligible. Then he gets thrown into the mix, and then your rotation has to change again. You know, Ahmad Rand transfers. You know, Malcolm sits out. I mean, there's just been no continuity whatsoever with this team, and sadly, this is just another chapter in that book. These three straight postponements. I just feel like Memphis is never. I feel like Memphis is on marbles right now. Like the Home Alone scene. You know, when they come in and there's marbles all over the floor, and you're slipping and you're sliding. And I just don't think Memphis is ever going to really find its footing this year. Like that. That's where I am. The talent is there, but I just don't have the belief and the conviction that they're ever going to be able to find the footing that they need this season.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong either in that, you know, like, I'm not even, I think you might be right. Like, ultimately, you know, what we've seen over 10 games is enough of a sample size to make certain judgments and, you know, and to feel the way you feel that they're not, like, ultimately this is what they are, I think is a fair assessment. Because the consistency just isn't there. I mean, even the last game, the USF game, you know, they played pretty well for 8 or 9 minutes in that game at the end. But what about those first 30 minutes? And too often, you know, against USF, you can squeak by with a one-point win. I don't know if you're going to be able to. I don't think you can play 9 good minutes against Tulsa and beat Tulsa at Tulsa. I think you're going to have to play more like 30 good minutes against them, and you're going to have to hit shots against that zone defense. So I think you're right. Like, they haven't figured it out yet. So what's there that they're going to figure it out?
Let's do this. Let's just say you're talking to somebody who just is looking for a reason, right? They want to believe, mm-hmm. right? They want to believe so badly. Mm-hmm. They just need a reason. What would you say? What am I going to latch on to over the next 17 games that I can reasonably believe, all right, this is how we turn it around? What's that thing?
Here's what it is. They've been in almost every game, even the games they've lost. Except, I guess the games they've lost since South Dakota, like, there's been a point in the game where you went, they can win this. Like, none of the games have been, except the, maybe the VCU game, have been like totally uncompetitive at all.
Right.
Okay. That's first of all. Two, I think this break, to me, I am hoping this break does them well. Like, you know, DJ Jeffrey, yeah, I hope some of these guys, maybe they figure out better how to play with each other, because they had a disjointed preseason with no scrimmages and COVID, and here's a 3-week break. I know it stinks because you don't get to play any games, but here's a bunch of practices. It's almost like a second training camp. So maybe they come out looking like a different team, and then I think you just. I think you hope that the talent wins. They have a lot of talent, and you hope that eventually that'll all come together, and they'll act like it's. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like you're going to go into every game going they have a chance to win it, and then unfortunately they, so far in the Penny era, they haven't won enough of those big games for them to really kind of make that leap, but. It's all wishful thinking, John. I'm fully admitting that. But, like, isn't that what being a fan is about? Is being having, like, a, wishfully, hoping for the best while there's still hope to be had. And right now, with 17 games left, I think you can still have hope. I think you can also know in the back of your head what we saw the first 10 games. If they don't look different very quickly – because ultimately we're at game 10. If we get to game 15 or 20 and we're saying the same stuff, you will be right. There won't be very much hope for the rest of the year. But for now, there is. So I'm going to cling to it.
Mark, the transfers of T.J. Carter and Obinna Eze, your antenna, right? Your red flags. Do they go up with those, considering how close Ryan Silverfield was, how key he was in their recruitment at this point? Do the antennas go up, or do they stop going up, go back down when you look at the quality of the guys he's got coming in on transfer? The couple of guys from Michigan State, obviously. Where are you at on these transfers in Memphis football?
Yeah, I'm sure Ryan is a little disappointed because I know how close he is to both those guys and how, he was intimately involved with both of their recruitments and obviously, they're guys he's held up as kind of like standard bearers for the program.
Leaders.
I'm not that concerned, to be honest with you. I just think this is like this offseason in college football is unlike, it's unlike any that's ever existed because of this impending, hopefully, transfer rule. I hope these kids don't get screwed by the NCAA. I know the NCAA tabled that transfer waiver vote. Earlier this week, it sounds like. I hope these kids don't get screwed because they're all being told this rule, right. This waiver is going to go into effect, and yet still the NCAA has not voted yet on it to approve it yet, even though everyone seems to assume they will. But I just think this is a product of this offseason where, we said when they announced this rule a year ago or so ago that they were considering this. Memphis was going to lose some guys. We all thought. I mean, I remember saying it on the radio, like, Memphis is going to lose some guys to Power 5 schools because
yep.
of this.
Yep.
And so we'll see where T.J. Carter lands. But, like, Obinna Eze, like, it stinks that he left. But, like, he also ended up in the Big 12. Like, it's not like he ended up at a conference rival or a Conference USA school.
Right.
He's you know, I'm sure there's reasons, you know, he's been told by some people around him, this is the best move for your career. And so that's why he's doing it. Whether it actually is the best move for his career, I have no idea. You know, like my sense is, you know, if you're good at Memphis, the scouts are going to see you. Mm-hmm. The history is there that the scouts will find you at Memphis if you're good at Memphis. And I would just say this about T.J. Carter and Obinna Ezek. Neither of them were even honorable mention all AAC this year. I know we can build them up because they have a lot of consecutive starts, and I'm not saying they're bad players,
sure,
but they were not like Obinna Ezek was not the best offensive lineman on Memphis' team this year. And T.J. Carter was not the best cornerback at Memphis the last couple of years. So, you know, I'm not saying they're, you know, like they were great. They were good players for the program, multi-year starters. And, you know, I would assume Ryan Silverfield would prefer not to lose them over losing them. But at the same time, he's brought in a bunch of transfers from the quarterback. He's brought in a cornerback from Michigan State, an offensive lineman from Michigan State, wide receiver from Arkansas. Like he's, the fact that Memphis is seems to be getting more than it's losing, that to me strikes me as not red. It means it's not red flag worthy in my mind.
Right. The only reason why I'm even really noticing it is because these were just so clearly Ryan Silverfield guys.
Right.
I mean, because I remember I've got a relationship with Ryan that goes back to when he was the OL coach, and these were two guys who I remember him talking to me about. You know, like these were two guys who, you know, he was really proud because he went into Nashville and beat out SEC schools. And I mean, these were almost like his kids in some ways. And it's just like, again, because of everything you outlined, he's killing the transfer market in the other direction. That it's really not one of those things where you sit here and you overanalyze it, but it is just something that you perk up at, like, huh, that's fascinating, maybe in your words.
Yeah, no, if there's a wave of them after this, then yeah, then I think you start to get concerned a bit. But I just think there's going to, one, it's just, you know, I think there's naturally there was going to be some turnover just, you know, after your first year on the job and it becomes clear who is, you know, where guys stand in the pecking order. So some guys are just going to transfer over playing time issues naturally. And then you add on the fact that this is an off season where you're likely going to see a record number of transfers around the country.
Yep.
Like, I just think if you look at Memphis's transfer numbers and compare them to the rest of the country, it's not really unusual. Like what they're going through is what everyone else in the country is going through right now.
Yep.
There's going to be a ton of roster churn this offseason at Memphis and at programs all around the country.
Yep, it's very true. Hey, Mark, man, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks, man.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
Yep, he is Mark Giannotti. You can hear him every afternoon here on 92.9 from 2 until 4. Appreciate his time as always. And we mentioned briefly the Obinna as a transfer, but
TJ happened after we left yesterday.
Just right? As we were getting off the show yesterday, and again, like because Ryan Silverfield, you know, did get the likely starting quarterback from. Well, he got two potential starting quarterbacks, right? One from LSU and Peter Parrish, and Grant Gunnell from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got, you know, the two Michigan State transfers, the DB and I believe the offensive lineman. Was it an offensive lineman that he got?
Who was higher rated than Obinna.
I'm assuming Obinna saw that and said, you know, well.
He's 4-star.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Obinna saw that and, you know, and probably, I guess, said, well, is that my replacement? I don't know. Maybe he was personally offended.
Was he? I wondered if Ryan already knew.
Maybe that, too. I mean, certainly that possibility exists as well.
Yours may be more believable, though.
Right.
You go out and get it.
That happened like a month ago.
Well, and to what Mark brought up, I was thinking, what is there to prove at TCU that you can't prove at Memphis if it's about your career?
Right.
We've seen guys get drafted. They will see you here. What is doing it in the Big 12? I'd understand that if Memphis wasn't having draft picks, if their scouts weren't around, but they have been, especially here lately, I'd understand that argument if Memphis wasn't getting looks with what it's done. But with where it's at right now as a brand, you're getting those looks.
Yep.
So I don't know what doing it at TCU does to benefit you. Maybe it was more that. Maybe you saw him as a threat. I just wondered if Ryan's known this for a while. See, TJ's tweeting about walking through the facility for the last time. You're right. I think the only reason it raises the antennas a little bit because Ryan's so close to those guys.
Right.
So, I mean, those were huge, those gets for him out
because
of Nashville.
These are not the kids, right? These are not
huge
the kids
for the program.
Who, you know, you lose, you just chalk up transfers when there's a coaching transition, right? You just chalk them up. These would not be the kids, though, who are caught in the who are the collateral damage in that because they were personally recruited by Ryan Silverfield.
Right.
You're going to lose guys just based on, well, I didn't commit to you. I committed to Mike Norvell. You're not start whatever. That's going to happen. You would not have expected it from these two guys.
Can we talk about what happened to T.J. Carter? Just a deal where injury.
There was a time where we said on this show
like he was going.
He could pick off Marcus Mariota.
We did.
And he probably could have that year. I don't know.
I mean, we talking it up to injury, being in and out of the lineup last couple of years.
That's
probably
fair.
There was a, you know, we all just say regression there. And we never said, no one's ever said why or what we thought's happened. He just, and now, it's one thing. When you're constantly on that island, you're going to get tested. And so the chances of seeing you there.
Look,
you know,
maybe he started reading his stuff. You know, maybe he as a freshman, you know, he kind of.
I don't know him well enough to assume that.
I don't know.
What we agree on is there was a regression there from year one. We all thought that guy was going to be.
Like an
no
NFL looking type.
Had NFL written all over it.
Well, he's probably an NFL guy, right? He's probably a, you know, late round pick or something along those lines. But yeah, I think there was a time where we thought maybe first or second rounder.
With Arthur Mollett's in the league, if he is. I would think TJ can get on a roster.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But you're right. I mean, we were thinking All American.
Yeah.
You know, his first year, he was that good.
Yeah. So
was he at MUS?
No, he's a Nashville.
Nashville guy. That's what we're talking about. That's when Memphis was.
It was. I mean, because Memphis.
Well, Urbina was out of Nashville too, wasn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was from Nashville. Obviously from Nigeria originally.
Yeah. But like Ryan had his roots there.
When you go into Nashville, and you poach two kids from Nashville. At Memphis,
top-level dudes.
That's never been done.
No, it was unprecedented at the time. I remember
So that's why this one kind of stings a little bit on that level.
And listen, I realize they weren't, you know, all-conference performers, but getting them out.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.